of Christ alone. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for sharing today. Thank you, singers, instrumentalists. God bless you very much. Welcome to those of you watching online in the gym today. I pray that God will speak to your heart as well as ours here. If you have your Bible, please open to John 14. We'll look at 3, 4, 5, and 6. John chapter 14, verses 3 through 6, we continue our series on Jesus is the way. Jesus is, and today the way. We've seen a lot of I am statements, a claim to be God. If you don't believe it, look at how the Jews responded when he said, before Abraham was, I am, and they picked up stones because they recognized he just claimed to be God. He did again here as he claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, this is called a first-class conditional sentence, condition determined as fulfilled. Since I'm going and preparing a place for you, I will come again. Oh, that's a sermon right there, isn't it? Jesus is coming back. And receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, literally through me. Jesus is the only bridge to God, the only conduit, the only means, the only road, the only path, the only way to God. No other way but through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'll speak to those watching at home, online, to us here this morning in the sanctuary, to those watching in the Life Center, you'll bless them as well. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that my speech and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in your power, dear Lord. We ask you to speak to us today. Thank you, Lord, that we have a path, a bridge, a road, a narrow wicket gate that leads to heaven. Bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, for most of church history, church names were selected to communicate the location of the church. The church at Ephesus, the church at Thyatira, the church at Pergamum, Laodicea. Current examples, however, of that church name being chosen as to represent the location, 16th Street Baptist Church, First Baptist Jacksonville, First Baptist Dallas, Edgewood Baptist Church, Scottlake Baptist Church. But you know, over the last 40 years, it's become untrendy, I guess that's a word, or uncool to be named by your location. And so churches have chosen to name themselves according to the emotion they hope to elicit among the worshipers. Door of Hope, Passion Church, Second Chance Church, The Nest of Love. I think I'd be afraid to go to that one. Some churches are selected to communicate that gated community safety feeling. Cross Bridge, Crossroads, Prairie Heights, The Bridge. Some churches are chosen to imply that you're going to make a lot of new friends real fast. The Encounter Church, Connection Church, The Spot, and Friends Church. I wonder if you go to Friends Church, they tell you, hey, you're sitting in my pew. You need to get up on my seat. Some churches choose names to target young adults who actively go to gyms. Champion Life Church, Action Church, Church on the Move, Empowerment Center Church, hoorah. Potential Church, V-Life Church. Somebody said V-Life Church sounds like the name of a power shake. I don't know, a protein shake. Some churches are chosen, names are chosen to communicate relaxation and de-stressing. Cool Water Church, Sandals Church, The Healing Spot, Wellspring. Some choose a church name to target the technologically savvy millennials. My Church, I don't know if it's mychurch.net or mychurch.com, I don't know. Netcast Church, Church 1132. Church 1132. And guess what time their worship service is? Every Sunday, their church service is at 1130. Actually, it's 11 o'clock. I just see if you listen. Some church names are so shocking, it makes you wonder what you do when you get there. The Scum of the Earth Church. Fishnet Church. I think I'm afraid to go there too. cool church, fun church. I didn't make those up. There's a fun church. And yes, at Berkeley, where else? Pajama church. One of these days, somebody's going to start a church and name it Free Money Church, and they're going to have a big launch on the launch Sunday, but they're going to be broke by the second Sunday. As I said, in New Testament times, churches were identified primarily by their location. And New Testament Christians were identified as those who belonged to the Way. Acts 9:2, Saul of Tarsus persecuted those of the Way. Acts 19:9, the Jews spoke evil of those of the Way. In Ephesus, the silversmith started a riot against those of the Way. Felix the governor put off a decision about those of the Way. New Testament churches were identified mostly by where they met, but New Testament Christians were identified mostly as being a part of a group called the Way. Some say the name the Way comes from the way the early Christians lived, simply, morally, righteously. But that's not it. Christians were called those of the Way because Jesus claimed to be the only way to God in heaven. And Christians believed Jesus was the only way to God in heaven, hence the phrase, those of the Way. Jesus himself said, "Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter by it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be who find it." Few, not because God desires only a few find it, but because only a relative few will hear about it and believe in it. In contrast to the few who don't hear about and believe the narrow way that leads to life are the many who don't hear about it or believe the broad way that leads to eternal death. Because Jesus claims to be the only way to God, and he rose from the dead to prove he is. His followers, we believe he's the only way to God in heaven. And because we believe he's the only way to God in heaven, we should not be ashamed to call the same thing as those early New Testament Christians, those of the Way. Not a way, one way, or some way, those of the Way. There's no other way to God in heaven than through Jesus. Here in John 14, Jesus answered three questions about heaven. Where is heaven? How do we get to heaven? And who alone can get us to heaven? Here's why they were called those of the Way. First of all, notice the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven. 3 and 4. "And if," better translated, "since I am going and preparing a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Now here in John 14, Jesus was comforting his disciples with the knowledge that since they could believe in God and since they could trust in God, they could also believe in him and trust in him. Since, as he said in John 10:30, "I and my Father are one," wow. If they could trust God, they could trust Jesus. If they could trust God's promises, they could trust his promises. Namely, verse 2, the promise that in the Father's house, heaven, were many dwelling places. Mansions, King James. And if it weren't so, he would have told us. And since he's going to prepare a place for them and us, he will come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we will be also. In verse 4, Jesus added, "And you know the way I'm going." You know where I'm going. You could paraphrase it like this. I'm going to heaven where there's lots of rooms, but don't worry, I'm coming back to get you so we can be together again. Well, that's pretty good. Since Jesus was going to heaven, the Father's house, where there were lots and lots of lodgings, dwelling places, mansions, that proves heaven is a real place. Did you know the Bible refers to heaven 550 times? The Hebrew word is shamayim, the heights. 2 Corinthians 12:2 talks about three heavens. The first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, the heaven that contains the air we breathe in our troposphere. Isaiah 55:9 referred to this heaven. "As the heavens are higher than the earth," God said, "so my ways are higher than your ways." The second heaven is the planetary heaven, which contains the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. In Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens," and he also made the stars and all the galaxies. The universe, the galaxies, and all that it contains are part of the second heaven. First heaven, the troposphere, where we are, where we breathe. Second heaven, space. But number three, here's the good one. The third heaven is the spot where we're going to live for all eternity. It's the place where God is and all the holy angels dwell. It's the place where all of our deceived, saved loved ones are. And some of you have saved loved ones that are in heaven. That's where they are. Psalm 33:13, the Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. Now, Jesus continually, constantly spoke of this literal place called heaven. He prayed, "Our Father, which art in heaven. I am the bread of God that came down from heaven." He told the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And I'm one of those guys that believes that's heaven. Revelation 4, John was raptured up into heaven by way of a vision and given a tour of heaven. The writer of Hebrews wrote, "We're longing for a city whose foundations, whose architects and builder is God." Friend, what that means is this: heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's not a fairy tale, not a myth, not an emotion. It is a literal place, as literal as the first heaven, our atmosphere where there is air, and the second heaven, outer space, where there is no air. The third heaven is where Jesus is. And by the power of the indwelling Spirit with us and in us, which raises the question, so how far away is heaven? And the answer is, I don't know. Here's what I know. We have a pretty big universe. If you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, you'd reach the planet Mercury in about 4 minutes. I think the sun is 9 minutes away, but I wouldn't go there. You'd reach the planet Venus in 2 minutes, Jupiter in 35, Saturn in 1 hour and 10 minutes. And if you wanted to visit the planet Pluto, I don't know if it's still a planet or not, but if you wanted to go to Pluto at the speed of light, it would take you 7 hours. So if you had a huge telescope, say in the parking lot, and it was noon, and you were in a car in Panama City, Florida, at noon, and Pluto blew up at 12:01 p.m., and you immediately started driving from Panama City to Lakeland at 12:02 p.m., by the time you drove all the way back from Panama City to Florida, 6 hours and 47 minutes, no traffic or bathroom breaks. Good luck with that one. But if you did that, and you got out of your car, and you looked in the telescope, you would see Pluto, because it takes 7 hours for the light to travel from there to here. But friend, listen, there's trillions and trillions of galaxies in our universe. And wherever heaven is, it's beyond the farthest galaxy. Now, if heaven is in a different dimension, maybe it's a lot nearer than we think. I don't know. All we know is what the Bible tells us, and that is heaven is up and heaven is real. And we know Jesus is in heaven and the saints of the ages are in heaven. And we know heaven is a desirable place. It's not a boring place. Ezekiel the prophet described it as a spinning rainbow of brilliance, as a sapphire sparkling like a sea of glass, dazzling crystal stretched across the sky. John the apostle said heaven had walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure gold, and heaven has no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lord is the lamp and he illumines it there. There's a reason the apostle Paul wrote, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man, woman, boy, or girl, the amazing things God has prepared for him." For the amazing things God has prepared for us there. Heaven is beyond words. In the old movie Field of Dreams, the character Ray asked his dad, John, who had died but was now standing with his son Ray in the Iowa cornfield. That was a baseball field. Ray asked, "Is there a heaven?" And John, his dad, looked up and he said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." But it's not just where dreams come true. It's where believers go after they die. It's where Jesus is. Matter of fact, heaven is such an amazing place that we shouldn't go there. We shouldn't dread going there like we do. A lot of folks dread going to heaven. "I'm not ready to go. I haven't seen Hawaii yet. I don't want to go." I read about two Christians who died and went to heaven. As they were walking the streets of gold, they were stunned at how awesome and how amazing and how beautiful it was. And finally, one said, "Wow, I never knew heaven was going to be this good." The other said, "Yeah, I know. And to think if we hadn't eaten all that oat bran, we'd have gotten here 10 years sooner. So it's amazing." Heaven's an amazing place. There's a city in northeast Mexico called El Cielo, the heaven. And those who've been there say that it probably is the most beautiful spot on the planet. It's a city high in the mountains in a cloud forest with rare birds and rare plants and exotic birds and animal species. It's considered a hiker's paradise because of its breathtaking views, exotic birds, and rare butterflies. There's three interesting facts about getting to Heaven, Mexico. Anybody ever been to Heaven, Mexico? Okay, it's a real spot. Number one, you have to have a ticket to go there. LCLO is considered an ecological park. It's a protected biosphere. You have to get a permission letter from the government to visit, a ticket, as it were, to be allowed on the road that leads to heaven. Number two, there's only one road that leads to heaven, Mexico, called the Gomez Farias Road. Very, very narrow, not even pictured on road maps. You wouldn't know about the Gomez Farias Road unless someone told you about it. By the way, Easter's 2 weeks from now. Start telling some folks to invite them to come. Okay, I just threw that out there. Number three, if you get a ticket and you take the narrow Gomez Farias Road that leads up to heaven, they say you'll know you're getting close because you'll smell the sweet fragrance of orange blossoms blooming in nearby orchards as you approach the city. Likewise, friend, heaven, where Jesus is, the real place, we need a ticket to get there. There's only one very narrow, narrow road that leads there. And I believe the closer we get, the more sweet fragrance of heaven, unlike anything we've ever smelled, there will be. Jesus told his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He was leaving, and yeah, it would get tough and difficult. But he said, "Don't worry, because heaven is a real place." It's a real place. And since Jesus has gone away to prepare for us a place in heaven, we can be certain he'll come again to take us to be with him in heaven. That's the reality of heaven. It's real. It's real. Number two, the request of heaven. The request of heaven. Verse number five. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" I think doubting Thomas asked what everyone else thought but didn't say. They expected Jesus would bring the kingdom. But this dying and going away thing, that was not on the radar. Jesus said, "I'm going away and I'll prepare a place for you." Thomas interrupted, "Wait a minute, Lord, stop. Where is it you're going? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way to where you're going." Now, Thomas didn't know where the Father's house was. Certainly, he was confused about how to get there. Did you know that most of our world this morning is confused about heaven and how to get there? They're confused. Muslim Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement, said, "Getting to heaven depends on your good behavior." Rabbi Neil Gilman, professor of philosophy, New York Jewish Theological Seminary, said, "Those who've been good will get to heaven, and those who haven't won't." Mormons believe those who are faithful Mormons can become gods and goddesses and populate their own planet with many children, and the size planet you get is determined by the number of kids you have, hence the big Osmond family. Jehovah's Witnesses believe, listen to this, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in a heaven in the sky and a heaven on the earth. And if you were born before 1936, you've got a shot of being one of those 144,000 that are in the heaven and the sky that get to see Jesus. However, if you're born after 1936, you cannot be part of the heaven and the sky group, but you're going to be part of the heaven on the ground group, the earthly class. Oh, and you never get to see Jesus if you're born after 1936 and you're Jehovah's Witness. By the way, if you're Jehovah's Witness today, I'm here to tell you, we have an invitation at the end. Come to Jesus and you can see him when you die. Hindus and Buddhists believe, well, if you're good, you'll move up a notch in reincarnation, and you can finally become one with God. Basically, all the other world religions, basically Sikhism, Shintoism, Confucianism, all believe to some extent, if you're good, you'll move up a notch and become one with God. Unitarians say, don't worry about heaven, everybody goes there. Or seek enlightenment, even if they don't go there, don't worry about it, no big deal. Oh, friend, listen, there is an inescapable question that everyone asks and every religion tries to answer, and that was Thomas's question to Jesus: what happens after we die? How can we know the way to heaven? It's the burning question of the religious and the irreligious. what happens after we die to make sure we go to the right place. How terrible not to know the answer, or to think you know the answer, and really you don't. The famous agnostic Robert Ingersoll was called the great agnostic. Technically, I think he was an atheist. He wrote, "Is there beyond the silent night an endless day? Is death a door that leads to light? We cannot say," end quote. We can't say unless a man died and came back 3 days later and said, "Yes, there is." And Jesus did. He conquered the grave and he told us in the Father's house are many mansions. He said, "I have gone to prepare a place for you." And since he's gone, he's going to return to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be. See, Robert Ingersoll, the great agnostic, though I think he was an atheist, his best hope was the Bible was a lie. And when we die, we stay in the grave, and that's the end of the story. How awful to have that as your best hope. How terrible to gamble your eternal soul on the hope that the Bible is a lie. But that's what Robert Ingersoll did. You know, the Bible says the men of this world, unbelievers, have their portion in this life. And that's what Robert Ingersoll did. He once asked, quote, "Why should we postpone our joy to another world? Let us get all we can of the good between the cradle and the grave. And then if when death comes, that is the end, we've at least made the best of this life," end quote. Oh, but what about the possibility that when death comes, it's not the end? What if the Bible is true? And I want you to know it is. Wouldn't you want to do what the Bible says do, so that Ingersoll's best hope as he lived is not your best hope, that the Bible's a lie? Friends, hell is real and heaven is real, and going to heaven is not a matter of being good or bad. We are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And you know what? The Bible says we're all bad. We're all bad. It says there's none righteous, no, not one. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that brings us to Jesus. We've seen the reality of heaven. It's a real place. It's real. The request of heaven. How do you get there? What do you have to do to get a ticket? Number three, here we go. The road to heaven. The road to heaven. Number three, verse 6. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am." There it is. Good song today. I am. Fits perfectly with this message. "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." The article with each noun shows that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. This has to be one of the greatest verses in all the Bible. It reminds us that Jesus is not just a way, a truth, a life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Buddha never claimed to be that. Neither did Mohammed or Moses or Confucius or any other of those dead guys that didn't rise. Only Jesus had the right to make that narrow and tolerant claim, "I am the way to heaven." And only Jesus backed it up with a resurrection from the dead. One survey said 64% of all adult Americans, 64%, say there's no absolute truth at all. 64%. 74% of all millennials say they don't believe in absolute truth. Some at Disney don't believe it either, some. Many Americans think, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And you shouldn't say that any other religion is wrong. By the way, that's an intolerant truth claim to say that. Because it says all religions are right. And that's an absolute truth claim. But friend, I want you to know it would be ridiculous for a math teacher to say you shouldn't say 2 and 2 is 5 is wrong. You shouldn't say that's wrong. That's intolerant to claim 2 and 2 is 5 is right. Get that right. It's intolerant to say 2 plus 2 equals 4. Y'all believe 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? Okay. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. That's what we hear. But how that logic works out for you when you jump out of a plane with no parachute, see how it works. Well, I didn't bring a parachute, but it's okay. I sincerely believe I'm going to be okay. You won't. If you die without Jesus, you'll die eternally, and sincerity won't help you. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only truth about God. He's the only life from God. He's the only bridge to God. He's the only way to God. He's the only hope we have of seeing heaven or anyone. Hence the personal evangelism mandate and the missions mandate. There's no other way. There's no other way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love the preposition here, dia. Gives us our English word diameter, through the middle. It's only through Jesus, by Jesus, in Jesus, we have access to heaven and God. He's the only conduit to God. He's the only bridge to God, the only road to heaven, the only road to God. He's the only way we can connect to God, and the only way we can have a relationship with God. The only way. There's no other way, period. In March of 1987, the British Broadcasting Company ran a true story about a car ferry that left Zeebrugge, Belgium. There's a port called Zeebrugge. Well, this ferry was bound for Dover carrying 650 passengers and all their cars. As the giant ferry left the port, the crew members accidentally left the bow doors open, causing it to take on water and begin to sink. Oops, my bad. The ferry flipped over on its side. But that's when 6'3", tall, lanky banker from London named Andrew Parker saved 20 lives. Andrew was sitting on the side of the ship when it flipped over on its side, and another ship came by to rescue the people trapped on the side of the ship, but it was just a little too far away for him to jump. So tall, lanky Mr. Parker stretched out his arms and his body with feet locked between the two ships, and he held onto a rope on the other side. And passengers literally walked across his back. Strong guy, using it as a bridge. One lady said, quote, all the people in our corner, you can read it, Los Angeles Times, BBC, story's still up, Andrew Parker, the walking across the ferry sinking in Zeebrugge. You get extra points if you spell it right. All the people in our corner got over Andrew's human bridge. Otherwise, we could not have crossed that space and we would have died. 20 people got across to the other side and were saved because of, here it comes, a human bridge. That's what Jesus did. He built a bridge with his body on an old rugged cross, spanning the extremes of man's sinful depravity and the righteous holiness of God, except he had to die to come back and prove he's the only bridge to God. And he did. You can call that, oh, that's an intolerant Baptist preacher. You can call that narrow-mindedness, but I call it truth because Jesus himself claimed to be the only way. Well, people today in our culture say, you have your truth and I have my truth, and what's true for you might not be what's true for me. Only one truth when it comes to heaven. Only one bridge. Only one path, one road, one way that leads to heaven. Jesus is that narrow way that leads to life, and few are those who find it, and fewer are those who believe in it. There's an old hymn that says, there's just one way for you all to come. There's just one way that'll lead you home. There's just one gate to the realms of day. The blessed Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the only way. Lovingly he calleth, that's the scriptures say. Whosoever will, let him come today. The blessed Jesus is the only way. The character Goodwill in Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, he said, you see this narrow way and how it goes ahead of us? Then that's the way you must go. Established by the patriarchs and the prophets and Christ and his apostles, it's a straight a way as possible to find, but it is the way that you must go. Friend, this is still the way that we must go. It's the only way we can go if we want to go to heaven. I agree, it's not trendy. It's not cool. But nonetheless, it's the only way. The only way. Join me in prayer. The Bible tells us that we are not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us. There's no amount of works we can do, no amount of commandments we can keep to remove the sins of broken commandments that we've already committed. We need Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus, come in your heart and life, I'd like to encourage you to do that this morning. I'd like to talk to you after this service is over about how you can make sure you're heaven bound. We can pray together and you can leave a changed person. You can have a ticket to heaven. Church doesn't offer it. Jesus offers it. Oh, certainly the church invites. The Spirit and the bride say, come. But whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. Father, for those looking for a church home, whatever the need might be today, Lord, for those who've been saved, never made it public by baptism, I pray they would realize it's important to share their faith, to share what's already happened in their heart, in the past, and show others that they are identifying with Christ. God, we give you the invitation. Speak to our young folks in the Life Center, those watching at home. God, help us to realize today's message is at the heartbeat of everything we do as a church. Missions, evangelism, it all relates to the one way and doing all we can do to make sure others know about it. Thank you, Lord, that we come as just as we are. If there's one today who needs to come, I pray they will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Invitational hymn is 307, Just As I Am. That is how we come to Christ. We don't clean up first. We don't turn over a new leaf and try to keep more commandments and do a better job. We come as we are. Nothing we can do of ourselves can remove the sins we've committed in the past. Only what Jesus did, the blood of Christ, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. I'll be here at the front if I can pray with you. I'd like you to come. Need a church home? Why not come today? Why would you wait? Why procrastinate? Lord comes this week. We're going up in the sky and we'll say, hey, you should have joined Scott Lake last week. Yeah, no, I didn't. Do what God wants you to do. That's the main thing. Let's stand. You come if you need to respond. 307. Come right now. This is for you. Do what God wants you to do. We continue to wait. The service just for you if you need to speak with me after the service. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I think that's Acts 4:12. I think I'm pretty close. That's what we need to remember, friends, that this is a mandate for us who know the Lord, those who are of the way and part of the way, to share those who have no idea about the way. And let me just say this. Today is 2 weeks before Easter Sunday. I hope you'll be here. And the next step, invite those who might not know about the way, or maybe that don't regularly attend a church. Don't pull somebody else out of their own church. But invite someone that you know probably doesn't go to church on Sunday. What a great opportunity. They'll come. If you ask them, 86% chance they'll say yes. Sit with them. Be their friend Easter Sunday. I'd love to have you as my guest. It'll make a difference. All right. Hope to see you back tonight talking about facts we need to understand concerning answered prayer, 6:30 tonight. And Brother Chuck, if you wouldn't mind, to voice our offertory prayer, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, the life. And Father, as we come, we just ask that you would continue to lead us, guide us, direct us. Use us as well as our tithes and our offerings to further your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.